Revelation chapter 19. The judgments of God have fallen upon the earth. We move from the world and we come back into the heavenly scene. We left the heavenly scene in chapter 5. We came down and we saw the devastation upon the earth as God pours out his judgment and his wrath upon this sinful world. Now in chapter 19, we return to the heavenly scene. And oh, what a difference there is. What a transformation that we get between what was happening on earth and what is happening in heaven. I love the sixth verse. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, like the voice of many waters and the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You need to remember that. We sing, and though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, will be satisfied, and heaven and earth be one. The ultimate victory belongs to our Lord, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. But then we are brought in the 19th chapter to this interesting heavenly scene, beginning with verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. The church is known as the bride of Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, God was married to the nation of Israel. And there was that relationship between God and Israel as the husband and wife. And as Israel would turn away from God and would turn to worship other gods, in the Old Testament, that constituted adultery. And so God spoke of the adulterous nation, how that she was committing fornication with so many different gods. She had turned her back upon her husband, upon the true and the living God. And so much of the Old Testament was devoted to the calling of Israel to a faithfulness unto God, as a faithful bride to her husband. But the sad cry of the disappointment of God as she turned away. The book of Hosea was a fascinating book which sort of pictured this whole relationship. Hosea was told to go and to take a wife from among the prostitutes, and he was to marry her. But we read concerning this wife that Hosea took. He loved her. He provided for her. But she left him. And she went out and began to commit adultery. She became a prostitute again. She began to lie around with every man until her life was sort of ruined and worthless. And she ended up being sold as a slave in the slave market. The Lord told Hosea, go and buy her from her slavery. And so Hosea went and paid the price and purchased her. And he then took her again unto himself. And the picture was the nation of Israel with God. How God took her joined himself to her, provided her and lavished her with gifts and with his love. But how she turned away from God and began to worship the gods of the Amorites, the gods of the Egyptians, the gods of the Babylonians, until Israel became destitute, went into slavery, was in bondage in Babylon and Assyria. But how God in his love purchased her again, that she might be his bride. Sort of like the story of the gingerbread man. How the little girl baked the gingerbread man, put the raisins for the buttons down the front, decorated his face, and was so thrilled with her little gingerbread man. It looked so good. But he jumped out of the pan and went running down the street, and she was chasing after him. He called back, "Run, run as fast as you can. You'll never catch me. I'm a gingerbread man." And sure enough, she couldn't catch him. But the next day, as she was walking down the street past the bakery, she looked in the window, and who should she see but the little gingerbread man? He was there smiling at her. She went into the bakery and said to the proprietor, "I want my gingerbread man." He said, "He will cost you 10 cents. She said, "No, you don't understand me. He's mine." And he said, "If you want him, it'll cost you 10 cents. So she went home and emptied her piggy bank and came back with the 10 pennies, laid them on the counter and said, "I want my gingerbread man." He took him out of the window and gave him to the little girl, who caressed him closely and said, "Now you are really mine, because first of all I made you and now I bought you." And you know, the Lord so often holds us close to himself and says, "Now you're really mine. I made you and now I bought you." And so the church is likened to the bride of Christ, even as Israel was likened unto the wife of God. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Now, Paul sort of considered himself as the father of the church in Corinth, which indeed he was. And writing to them, he said, "I have a godly jealousy for you because I have espoused you to one husband. I want to present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ." You see, in those days, marriage was by arrangement. They felt that the decision of who you were going to marry was much too complicated and much too important for a child to make. And so it was by the arrangement that marriages were made in those days. Paul, speaking as a father, he's made the arrangement. He's espoused them unto Jesus Christ, and it is his desire to present them as a chaste virgin unto him. This word espoused. In those days, they had engagements, but they weren't like our engagements today. In fact, the espousal was more like an engagement today, but even more binding. In those days, they had engagements because marriage was by arrangement. You may have a child, a little son that's 6 years old, and your close friends have a little daughter who is 5 years old. And you're very close friends, and so you say, "Well, you know, how about your daughter marrying my son? Sounds good." "Well, okay." And so they would be engaged when they were 6 and 5. Going to kindergarten, that little boy could say, "Well, You know, I'm engaged to her. And because marriage was by arrangement, and so there was the engagement, and it often came quite early in life. But as you grew up, a year before the actual marriage, you entered into what was called the espousal. And this was a complete commitment to each other. In fact, the espousal was so strong that you had to get a divorce from the espousal. Now, you remember we are told concerning Mary, the mother of Jesus, that she was espoused to a man by the name of Joseph. They were in that final year before the marriage when she was found to be with child. And you remember Joseph pondered in his heart what he was to do, and he thought he might divorce her privately rather than expose the fact that she had been unfaithful during the period of espousal. And he was going to divorce her privately so that she wouldn't be stoned by the populace. But while he was concerned with these things, the Lord, you remember, came and told him, or the angel of the Lord told him, don't be afraid to take Mary, for that which is conceived is from the Holy Spirit, and she shall bear a son, she'll call his name Jesus, for he shall take away the sins of the people. So, espousal. Paul said, I've espoused you. I have committed you unto Jesus Christ, and I want to present you as a chaste virgin unto him. Jesus was asked one day by the Pharisees how it was that the disciples of John and the Pharisees fasted often. But they said, your disciples don't fast. And Jesus said, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and in those days they shall fast. So Jesus likened himself to the bridegroom and his disciples, the church, like the bride. Paul, when he was writing to the church in Ephesus, said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even so the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Paul said, this is a great mystery, and I'm speaking to you concerning Christ and the church. And so the bride, the husband, the wife, the relationship that the church has to Jesus Christ. At the present time, the church is espoused to Jesus Christ, espoused to one husband. Now, in chapter 19, we read that the announcement is made that the time has come for the marriage of the Lamb. His wife has made herself ready. We're there in the heavenly scene with the Lord. The time has now come. The espousal period is over. The time has now come for the marriage ceremony. And we read concerning the bride, that she was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And we are told that the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Paul wrote to the Philippians, And he spoke of the righteousness that he sought to attain by the law. He had all of the right credentials. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law. I was a Pharisee, and concerning zeal, I persecuted the church, and touching the righteousness which is of the law, I was blameless. But those things which were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but I count them as refuse, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of Christ through faith. Paul once sought to clothe himself with the righteousness of the law. But when he discovered Jesus Christ and the righteousness which is of faith, he gladly shed the rags, the filthy rags of his own righteousness, that he might put on the righteousness of Christ, which is of faith. As we sang, clothed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Jesus had told his disciples that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And so Paul was willing to forego the righteousness as a Pharisee, that he might have the righteousness clothed in the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. And so the bride, arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Writing to the Romans, Paul said, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but God has provided through Jesus Christ a way of standing before him in righteousness, pure and clean. Jude wrote, now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. In Galatians, Paul said, if there was a law that could be given that would bring life, then righteousness could have come by the law. Righteousness, the righteousness by which I stand before the Lord, is not my own goodness, not my own good works, not my own best efforts. That's self-righteousness. And Isaiah, speaking of self-righteousness, said, but we are all unclean, and our righteousnesses are like a filthy rag. This means that I will seek to present myself before God in filthy rags, or I can be presented before God in the beautiful garments of the bride, the fine linen, pure and clean, which is the righteousness of the saints. As we read in our psalm this morning, verse 13, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. And she shall be brought unto the king in the raiment of needlework. Now, we read here in Revelation 19, blessed are they who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The word blessed literally means, oh, how happy are they who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Do you ever stop to think of how glorious it's going to be in heaven? Back in chapter 5, we were brought into the heavenly scene as the church. And we were there as we saw Jesus taking the authority that is his. We joined in the glorious songs of the redemption through the blood of Jesus and the worthiness of the Lamb to receive all of the honors and the glory that is to be bestowed upon him. Have you ever thought what it will be like when that actually happens? When we stand complete before the throne in his righteousness? This wonderful scene, that awareness that, oh, I'm here. You that are married, do you remember what it was like as you were waiting for that day that you had set on the calendar, the day that you would be married? Do you remember the waiting? Do you remember the anticipation? Do you remember how slow the days seemed to drag on as you were waiting for that moment? And do you remember that moment then you were arrayed in your bridal gown? And there he was in his tux. And you were standing together before the altar, ready to take your vows before God. The excitement, the thrill, the moment had arrived. It seemed like it would never get there. It seemed like an eternity waiting, but now it's happening. And the excitement, the thrill, it's here. You know, one day we're going to be in heaven. And we're going to hear the glorious announcement that the marriage of the Lamb has come. The bride has made herself ready. And there we are, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. There, that which we've been waiting for, that which we've been anticipating, that which seems to be so far off, the days seem to drag, but one day it will be a reality. And we will be standing, filled with joy and excitement. Blessed, oh, how happy are they that are called to the marriage of the Lamb. It sounds like the most beautiful dream in all the world, almost like a fairy tale. So much so that the angel affirms to John, these are the true sayings of God. Not a fairy tale, John. It's not just a dream. These are the true sayings of God. It shall be a reality. The marriage of the Lamb will come. Have you ever thought where you will be when that takes place? One of three places. You'll either be in hell, or you will be here on earth having survived the torment and the judgments, or you will be standing before the throne of God as the bride of Christ. We sang this morning, the bride eyes not her garments, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on the King of grace. Not on the crown he gives, but on his pierced hand. For the Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. The trials, the efforts, struggles that we have gone through and endured will seem like nothing. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Won't be long. The time is getting short. This scene that John depicts in the 19th chapter will soon be a reality. Where will you be when it happens? Will you be a part of the bride of Christ? Have you dressed yourself in the righteousness of Jesus Christ through faith? Have you put your faith and trust in him to wash and cleanse you from your sin? Standing in his righteousness alone, faultless before the throne. Think about it. Father, we thank you for this beautiful scene that gives to us the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who will change our vile bodies that they might be fashioned like unto his own glorious image. Lord, we thank you that we can be clothed in the righteousness which is of Christ through faith. Standing before you, holy, pure, in the fine linen, clean and pure, the righteousness of Christ. Lord, we realize that there are people who are struggling to be righteous, going through all kinds of self-sacrificing and efforts, legalism. But Lord, we're thankful that you've done for us what we could not do for ourselves. With all of our efforts, best efforts, we can never be pure and clean. So, Lord, we thank you that you have provided for us the garment in which we will stand, the bride of Christ, forever his, who the Lord and us shall part. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful hope. We wait eagerly for that day when we stand as your bride, presented by you to the Father without spot and blemish. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done, for what you are doing in our lives, and for these words that are true. what you're going to do. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. No wonder when Paul was taken to heaven and got just a taste of the glory there, he said it would be a crime if I tried to describe to you the glory, the things that I heard, if I tried to describe them in human language. Emotions like you have never felt before. Thrill beyond anything you could ever experience here on earth. To be there, to be presented by Jesus, our bridegroom, to the Father, his bride. The marriage has come. We've been espoused, but now the marriage has come. Blessed are they. Oh, how happy are they who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Where do you stand? Where do you stand today? Have you put your complete faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Or are you saying, well, I do my best to keep the golden rule, and I believe in being good, and I believe in, you know, doing to others what they want, I want them to do to me, and that's not enough. The only righteousness, Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not going to make it. The righteousness that comes through putting your faith and trust fully in Jesus Christ is the righteousness that God will accept. You've got to be clothed in that righteousness. The pastors are down here at the front of the church to pray for you. Today, you can become espoused to Jesus Christ. You can enter into that binding commitment, where the commitment for marriage is now a binding commitment. You can enter into that, the espousal. And one day, you'll hear the announcement. The marriage of the Lamb has come. The bride has made herself ready. These are the true sayings of God. You can bank on it. And so we would encourage you to come on down and make sure that you will be in that glorious company of the bride of Christ, the true saints.